We're delighted to have Shalice Overy with us. As Chris Brown has said, she's the associate pastor at Pullen Memorial Baptist Church. Some of you already met Shalice a couple of years ago when she and Melissa led a book study on James Cone's book, The Cross and the Lynching Tree, which culminated in a trip to the National Memorial for Peace and Justice in Montgomery, Alabama. And then the two pastors also co-led a six-week noontime Bible study on the Capitol grounds on empires, idols, and Confederate monuments. So thank you for your work and teaching on these. In addition to being an ordained minister, Shalice has training in congregational conflict and mediation, has a passion for preaching, and a strong commitment to developing church leaders. And I also read somewhere that she likes to like a health nut, likes to skate and what were some of the other
ski, swim.
Great. So we're delighted to have you with us, Shalice. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for bringing Shalice to us today to speak your word. Thank you for the way that the Spirit has worked in her life to encourage and train and support so many. And we thank you now that she brings this message to us. Open our hearts to receive it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Good morning again to who are worshiping in person. Good morning to those who I haven't greeted that are worshiping where you are. It is good to be here. I'm grateful for you, Riley Mennonite, your witness in our community and in our world, for your pastor who often invites me to join her in the things that come to her mind and for which I have been grateful. So it's great to be here. Thank you for encouraging your leaders to take rest. It is so important. And so I'm grateful to be able to fill in this morning. Thank you for reading our scripture this morning. A good hero story, which I think everybody kind of loves a hero story. I was reflecting on this maybe a little bit last weekend as I was watching Ragnarok. I think that's how you pronounce it. I'm not sure because I wasn't so much watching it as I was watching the different scenes like that my boyfriend was showing me that he was fascinated with. He admitted that he loves a good kind of hero or anointing story. And as I was obliging him, it did not feel like torture. And it occurred to me that I kind of like a good hero story too. Most hero stories feature this kind of main character of ordinary stature or status, an anointing by a person or some sort of supernatural event that endows that kind of just regular person, either with special power or makes them aware of a power that was always inside of them. Then there's kind of some sort of like a cataclysmic event, or at least the threat of one, that helps that person reveal the purpose of their gifts, that it is for the greater good and calls for them to use that purpose in that way. And then after their heroic actions, we have the restoration of peace and prosperity. What is not to love about a good hero story? The overlooked are finally seen. The powerless receive power. Evil is overcome by forces of good, and everyone can live in prosperity. This is the narrative that we have in 1 Samuel, this hero narrative featuring David, so ordinary a person that when Samuel told Jesse to bring all your sons, they didn't even think to bring David in, but left him tending the sheep. David, who is anointed by Samuel, who, if we continue reading in the book of 1 Samuel, eventually slays the giant Goliath. Most of you know that story. And so it isn't just a feel-good hero story, but it teaches us a very important lesson about how our biases our expectations about who is fit for leadership, what they look like, sound like, act like, those biases can actually work against us such that we can overlook the person, the people who just might be able to save us. And that's a wonderful lesson that we unearthed from that scripture. And when I considered it, I kind of got discouraged because it occurred to me that you had probably considered this already. This one lesson that I was able to extract from this text. And not that there's not value in reinforcing that, but I've done that rather quickly and you're probably expecting me to continue to speak for a few more minutes. So I thought, what else can we learn from this passage of scripture or a hero story in general? And because this text reminds us, I think, of our propensity, makes us aware of our propensity to kind of miss things, to overlook that which is important. I wondered what we might learn by considering what these hero stories themselves are missing. What hero stories miss, I think, the biggest thing that came to mind that they miss or de-emphasize is that every day is not the end of the world. It's not every day that we face giants or even obstacles of giant proportion. It's not every day that the world is on the brink of utter destruction. Just some days. And on those days, a hero might come in handy, but those days are not the norm. So what do we do with the rest of the days? What do we do with the days in between? Because on the days that we're not trying to prevent utter annihilation, on the days where we don't have to be concerned for mostly with self-preservation, we can work to build a world that is sustainable, that is stable, that is just even, a world that is much less vulnerable to these imbalances that lead to desperation and violence and destruction. And in order to build that kind of world, we'll need more than just a hero. In order to build that kind of world, we will need a host of humans that are willing to work, living each day in consideration of how they might do so justly and kindly and walking humbly with God and their fellow humans in this world. And so there's a sense in which our love for heroes, of someone to save us, actually renders us a bit more vulnerable, maybe much more vulnerable. Now, the more we're focused on finding heroes, the more we'll find ourselves in need of being saved. If we spend a lot of time looking for one person to do a particular thing for which we have occasional use, that's what we do when we're identifying these heroes. So Samuel anoints David king. There's a lot of energy put into this, like revelations and from God, and you know, God speaking to Samuel, Samuel trying to figure out what's going on and which one I'm supposed to anoint, right? And so Samuel anoints David as king for a particular purpose, right? Kings normally kind of in this time were used for fighting battles, for going into war. So David's Israel's second king, right? And even when Israel asked for a king, their first king being Saul, God says, no, you don't need a king. But they say, we need someone to fight our battles. That was the expectation for kings. So David is anointed king, and his anointing as king doesn't really change anything in people's day-to-day lives at the time that he's anointed king. Because every day is not a day of warfare, right? And because one person cannot carry a nation. And so we find that the same thing is true, I think, in our own time, that we elect leaders, right? And and we should give attention to the people that we choose for leadership and consider those things. But we elect leaders, and for many people, nothing changes about their day-to-day existence on the day that those leaders are elected, because one person, a few people, cannot carry an entire nation or world. But on the day that we find our heroes, that we put them into those positions of power, many of us relax, believing that all impending crises have been averted because we have a hero now to save us. But what if we cared less about saving the world and more about building a world that did not need saving, or maybe cared as much about building a world that did not need to be saved? Realizing that one person cannot carry the world on his or her shoulders, we would spend less time looking for heroes and more time trying to help each other uncover the heroism that is inside each of us. I think that's one of the reasons we love a hero story, because each one of us would like to believe that there's something special inside of us, that there is a spark, that there is a light. And I believe that that is true. And I think we love a hero story because we suspect it, just like that kind of, you know, that person in the story of average status and stature that thinks maybe there's something special about me, right? And we're waiting for someone to affirm that in us. And if no one ever affirms it, some of us just dismiss it. Dismiss the possibility that we might be the ones that we're waiting for, and we start looking for someone else to come save us. I saw this kind of in action yesterday. I was in Elizabeth City for a rally and march in support of justice for Andrew Brown. And we were marching through the community where Andrew Brown lived, through the community where he was killed, through the community of people who were like him and knew him, and folks were leading chants as we were marching. Of course, they were, you know, saying, "Say his name, Andrew Brown. No justice, no peace." Right, but there was also a chant that I hadn't really heard before, and it seemed so appropriate for where we were marching. They were saying, "Out of your house, into the streets. Out of your cars, into the streets. Off of your porch, into the streets." And as they were literally kind of calling people, you could see people peering out kind of from behind their door, some people sitting on their porch and watching the procession go by, some even waving and smiling. And as we were beckoning them, like, people were literally saying, "Come on, walk with us." Many people, I didn't see anybody who joined the procession. Many people were saying, "No, that's okay. I'm fine where I am." And as I considered that, I said, you know, I don't think these people disagreed with the cause for which we were marching. I think in many ways they were right there with us. But so many people sometimes have been so discounted, overlooked, disenfranchised in so many different ways that you look at movement, you look at action and say, maybe I don't have anything to offer. Maybe I'm not one of those kinds of people that can make a difference. That's for activists. That's for a certain kind of person, but that person is not me. And so they were happy to watch the heroes, right, come marching through. There was a big crowd because Reverend Barber had called people to be there on that time. They were happy, I think, many of them, to have the hero in their community leading that procession. But the movement, right, beyond that moment of time that we were there, those few hours, the movement will require the masses finding their voice, playing their role, and walking into their own heroism. The attention that was garnered that day is because Because regular people, right, who had a problem with what happened had been marching and shouting for 53 days in Elizabeth City, right, that getting the attention of some of our state legislators and our governor and even the U.S. Attorney General, right? And so we needed everybody, but everybody didn't feel that there was enough on the inside of them, that there was something special enough about them to be able to make a difference. And even this example that I offer speaks to a world that lives from crisis to crisis. But we've got to nurture that spark inside of each person so that we're building a world that is not always in crisis mode, a world that is just, a world that is sustainable. And so we have this story where Samuel anoints David king. But king was only one role, and king wasn't enough to move a nation, a people forward. Samuel anoints David king, but who will anoint the healers? Who will anoint the peacemakers? Who will anoint the teachers, the mentors, the dreamers? Who will anoint the artists, the counselors, the truth tellers? Who will anoint the farmers, the harvesters, the people who clean hospitals so that we don't go into a place that's supposed to heal us and end up coming out more sick? Who will anoint the rest of us to do what we must do to create the world that we believe is possible? I think it's going to have to be you. I think it has to be us. And so I anoint you today, all of you. I'm taking my prophetic powers to do so, to anoint you as anointers of other people. I say to you, as God said to Samuel, why are you grieving over another hero who failed to save you? You are special. Each and every one of you, you have a job to do. Fill your horn with oil every day and set out on that job. Pour that oil into every person that you have the privilege to encounter by telling them there's something special about you. You're destined for greatness. The world needs your gifts. There is a spark on the inside of you capable of growing into a flame that can dispel the darkness in our world. Provide them with the oil, the fuel to set that spark ablaze, because that's all that anointing really is giving a fuel for that little spark to become a fire. You know, the people that we often crown for leadership, that maybe we see something in them at a young, you know, they don't become great leaders just because, oh, there was something special about them, right? That's not special about, you know, in any other person, that only they could do it. No, it's because we look at them, we identify it, and we say, I want to help bring that out of you. We pour into them, we resource them. If we resource everyone with the firm belief that there is something special about each of us, if we stop just looking for kings, because that will be completely insufficient to build the world that we need, and started looking for all these people that I have named and so many more, we would find a spark, a something unique and special in each and every one of us. So fill your horn and set out. You are anointed to be anointers, to pour into people, to tell them what you see in them, to help resource them so that together we might build a world that is sustainable and just, a world that doesn't need a hero. Amen.